At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
There is a darkness that lurks inside all of us. Time to bring it into the light. Welcome to Sick Minds with Alistair Griggs and Nico Tatarovich.
Hello again. Whoa, here we are. Where are we? Episode
7.
Lucky 7. A mystical number. It is, isn't it? It's one of the ones. Yes,
George
it is.
Best.
George Best. Eric Cantona.
Ronaldo.
Well, they're all footballers, but even more mystical.
Deadly sins.
Yeah, you've got your deadly sins. You've got your up.
You got the virtues.
What are they?
I don't know.
None of them.
Nah.
Honesty.
Wonders of the world.
That's 8, isn't it?
Seven.
Just when we were getting somewhere.
I'm more like to be able to name the wonders of the world.
Come on, then let's start.
Pyramids
there.
Of Giza, Colossus of Rhodes. Hanging Gardens of Babylon.
Are they real?
Yeah. These are ancient.
Yeah, the ancient ones, yeah.
Right, go on.
Yeah. The Library of Alexandria.
Yeah, Stockport Viaduct. What else? What are you on, 4, 5?
4.
Hurry up.
Oh, I don't know.
That's what we like.
Oh, the Oracle at Delphi, isn't it?
Really?
What?
Isn't it?
What's that?
The temple at...
Sounds like a restaurant within a hotel chain.
They do a great grill.
Oh, that man's talking and we've not even said who he is.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And guess what? I'm not going to edit it so that it sounds like I know what's happening because I think that's the spirit of this. This is a bit like when punk was born, Tom. Every single time we have a guest on, it's mayhem. It's balmy here on Sick Minds. Basically, everyone we've got with us today, Tom Tuck.
Hello.
Tom Tuck.
Is there a longer version of your name, Tom?
Thomas David Tuck.
Thomas David Tuck. Famous 4?
No, there's the famous 5, actually.
Lift off.
Not famous.
Not famous, but you were...
I am a comedian.
He's a comedian.
Yeah, I was in the Penny Dreadfuls, still am.
Yeah.
Recording a new radio programme.
Brilliant.
Next month.
Really? Where's that for?
Ready for. We're doing a version of Don Quixote.
Beautiful.
It's probably on now, considering we're quite lax with our topicality.
Yeah, it should be out in December, I reckon. They often put it on Christmas time.
So you would have heard it in the past.
Yeah. Everyone remember that? Well, yeah. That's this guy.
But you can actually buy all our previous ones.
Ace. Where can we buy them, Tom? While we're just being tough.
If you search for Penny Dreadfuls Volume 1 and Volume 2.
Oh. Okay, brilliant. We usually do this bit at the end, if you're honest. you can go home, at least you're glad you came now.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm Nico Tatarovich, and this is...
Alistair Griggs.
And, I don't know if you know, Tom, how this works, but we basically, we meet every now and again. Here we go, little rumble from the stomach. A little bit of nerves there, a little bit of pooey nerves. We, over the years, have had loads of conversations that we'd be ashamed of while enjoying them. And one day we thought, people should hear this, and now very few of them are. Thanks to the miracle of the podcast community. Thanks, guys, whoever you are, do write in.
Yeah.
Sick Minds is a lot of fun, and we share our darkest thoughts, weird desires, awful stories, embarrassing moments, just. Anything that lives in the back of your head, in the worst part of your brain, not a competition, Tom. There's no remit to leave here having destroyed your own reputation as a human mind, as a human man.
I don't think there is much to.
Well, that's it.
Dismantle.
It's very much why we asked you on. Like, there's not a lot left. You, You're just about old enough, I think, that time was when you were sat in a pub and you might have a conversation about something that's a current issue. But in my imagination, it's like 15, 20 years ago, a chat about a thing that's happening that is or may not be outrageous and you may have an opinion on it one way or the other would take up about 5 minutes of your time and then everyone would get back round to generally liking each other or not liking each other and whatever.
One of my best friends, I say that, I don't speak to him at all, but we became friends whilst having a stand-up row about the European Union. But
what year was this?
2002 or something.
Fucking hell, you're well ahead of the curve there, mate.
Yeah, he's delighted. He's very, very pro-Brexit. And but I was like, you're an absolute moron. By the way, what do you want?
You can have
that. And it's the civility and the ability to disagree with someone and not think that they are inherently worse for disagreeing with you.
Yeah, and I think that's worn away.
That's what we've got to do.
So it's become, the world feels like it's become... you're a yes or a no. Mm. Obviously referendums and stuff like that by their nature end up being this yes or no, in or out, whatever. It honestly feels like fucking Western civilization has now come down to A or B.
Is they go, left or right. And if you're sort of left-wing fiscally or right-wing fiscally, that shouldn't have any basis of what your other opinions are.
B. Oh, I can't believe you're in it. That's it. It's the gang. It's the
or not to be.
And it's become very tribal, right? Everything's fucking so tribal now. Scares the shit out of me.
I had a joke I was doing that people say that the problem is that the two sides of the debates don't talk to each other civilly. Mm. But there's one group of people who've got representatives in both camps, and if we get them together, and that's the heavily tattooed. Because if you've got a lot of tattoos, you're at one end of the spectrum or the other.
It's just how blurry your tattoos are versus how sort of how young you had them done. Like these kids walking around. If I say kids, anyone under 30 is a kid to me now. The people that were young, they've got so many tattoos. So quickly, and I sort of think I know what it is you're going for, but what they've not realised is
it's not a day job.
That sort of biker that you saw when you were a kid went fucking hell, he's covered in tattoos. He didn't complete his jigsaw puzzle of tattoos until he was about 50.
Mm.
But people are going just fucking completely covering themselves, aren't they?
Like, horrible.
Do you not like it?
Do you have any tattoos?
Cool,
any skin in the game?
Nothing.
I haven't.
They show a fundamental lack of imagination to have a tattoo. Like, I'm going to make that. Point.
I don't have one, but
as in, like, you're not. It's the easiest. It's just,
you're not an easel.
I've got a tattoo.
I quite want a tattoo, but it sort of has to like. Go over the threshold of like I definitely want to memorialise this forever.
Right, yeah.
But then I thought of a really funny one, and a succession of girlfriends have said, "You cannot do that."
Yeah.
Super Mario.
Yeah.
Punching my nipple with a coin coming out the top.
I mean, that is quite good. Get that?
Yeah, but at least the fact that you're chuckling. I'd like to imagine you in a tattoo shop going, "Okay."
Yeah.
Okay, what I want you to do?
And I want it really blocky, so it's like pixelated.
It's personal, it's original, but it's not removable very easily.
Yeah, you know what isn't removable either?
Mm.
Just skin in general. Like, it doesn't. and it's, you're gonna die.
Do you agree with that, Griggs? Can the skin be removed?
Oh, there are ways.
There are ways.
You won't feel pain. We're back to earlier.
It puts the lotion on its skin.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, there is a.
But you're going to die. So, like, why? If you want a Care Bear on your arm, fine.
You are going to die. Take comfort.
Tell you what, the Care Bears.
Why not have a little scribble?
I'm going to jump on this here for a little gear change. The Care Bears did all right, didn't they? Fucking did well. The Care Bears. We're still talking about them.
I'm thinking about Will Hodgson. He's got.
Has he?
Loads of Care Bears and My Little Ponies.
What? Where?
Like, on his arms.
Oh, right. You know, pictures. Tattoos. Yeah. because that sounded much worse when it sounded like Will Hodgson has literally got loads of Care Bears.
I think he does actually as well.
All right. Well, I don't know him. What's
Hello,
he like?
Will.
Hi, Will. Please come on the show and explain yourself.
Yeah.
But yeah, Care Bears. People still remember. They weren't. They feel like they weren't that big at the time, but they've like a Christmas hit.
I'll wager that you weren't the target market.
Well, yeah. You say that. My first week in secondary school.
Were you an 8-year-old girl?
Yeah. And we went on from there. But no, my first week in secondary school, which was, I'd say, 1985, in the first few days, I got asked out by some girls a few times. And it was like, and it was a bit of a problem because I was like a cute looking 11-year-old with big sort of 80s hair. And a bunch of girls like asked me out on the first few days. And the one that I liked, I didn't know how you took a girl out. So I asked her if she wanted to see the Care Bears movie. Oh. And she didn't. And after that, it was all around the school that not to ask me out. I didn't go out with anyone after that in the whole of school.
It's doubly humiliating.
Yeah, you were turned down over the Care
and
Bears.
And you didn't even get to see a movie.
I thought...
Why don't you liked it?
I thought that's what you wanted.
Yeah.
And thus began...
It began like, oh, what do they want? Instead of having your own mind about what you want to do. Come on, man.
I'm literally quite happy to admit that I am getting help with that stream of flaw. Yeah, I've been thinking about that stuff, actually, yeah. You know, how do you become empowered enough to say to speak your own truth?
Be a twat to begin with. Yeah. And then do a philosophy degree. That's my recipe.
Is that what you do? Yes. Philosophy degree, when was that and where?
Edinburgh. University of 2001-2005.
Philosophy degree.
It started off doing philosophy and economics, but if you teach those two things together, you realise that economics is false.
Shit, it's explain that. I like the sound of that. Just
well,
I like that. You go, what? Go on, hear him out, Griggs. Yeah.
philosophy is like the process of rigorous thinking. You know, it's going back to the base level. Can we rely on every little bit of this as we build it up? Economics is just assumption after assumption after assumption after assumption. And it doesn't stand up to rigorous thinking.
I always thought it was the other way around. I thought philosophy was just like,
Go on, say that.
It's pathetic.
Philosophy is...
But it's sort of base...
Sometimes on this show.
No, you don't. Keep going.
I'm clever. No, I thought economics was sort of the science one, and philosophy was...
That's
more...
what economists want you to think.
Oh,
it is a descriptive discipline. So they look at the things that have happened and go, oh, yeah, look at my graph. Oh, aren't I clever?
Yeah.
And now this is definitely going to happen in the future, as if they were scientists, yeah. And they're not.
And then that thing doesn't happen.
And then hence the financial crash. Oh, you know, because...
God.
The only have you read Daniel Kahneman's Thinking Fast and Slow?
No.
He won the Nobel Prize in Economics. He's not an economist. a neuroscientist. And he basically disproved economics and won the Nobel Prize in economics for it. Saying that because it's all predicated on the idea that people are rational, and he just proved that people aren't.
Or that you can prove that a certain system yields certain results. Is that...
No, because everything in economics is sort of based on the people acting in rational self-interest.
What's really funny is I'm just seeing that both of us are looking at you like like two child autograph hunters listening to a pop star. I'm really enjoying it. I'm just really, really aware that we're both going, you could be saying anything.
Yeah.
This is fucking brilliant. So you preferred philosophy?
Yeah.
I
tried to switch to philosophy and maths, and they went, you don't
mix them two up. Like,
No, they go very well together. But they said, you'd have to go back to first year. I don't want to do that,
really?
Thank you.
No. Really?
I'll just do philosophy.
So what, you just didn't want to prolong the student experience, or...?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Mm.
I was already a four-year degree in Scotland.
A comedian living on your wits until the age of about 58. So. Yeah. Well done for moving on from that.
Yeah.
Griggs.
Hello.
Has that worried you a bit? You look slightly perturbed.
I just feel I've learnt something. I'm just...
It's nice, isn't it?
Sorry, that's not the point of this, is it?
It feels quite nice. Feels quite warm. Do you feel a bit weird that we've both gone a bit sort of doe-eyed? It's like, oh God, he's so fucking sexy when he just gives us his opinion.
It's a pity it's a podcast and they can't see your boner.
Yeah. Okay. You got any stuff you want to get off your chest, Griggs?
You were mentioning earlier about empathy.
Yes.
And I was thinking that I do find empathy quite a struggle.
It feels that
other people care about things more than me. Like, you know, like old people. Have you seen, I was once on a train and I saw this old couple and they had printouts of Google Maps. And it made me really angry.
What, as an environmentalist?
Yeah. I was just... It was
just as a mentalist.
It was just the sort of ineptitude of it. I couldn't... Or like once, like there was someone trying to do the ticket machine and I had to... I could see she was doing it wrong, but I couldn't help her because it was making me so annoyed. I actually had to back away so she didn't... ask for my help, because if she asked my help, I would be angry by that. So I just had to, I had to move away.
So have you had like sort of macro behaviours in your life so that you're not awful to people?
I'm just
he's basically got a life hack, go away
from people so you don't hit them.
Yeah, he's got a personality handbrake on at all times. I know where the button is on it, don't I? I think I'm quite good at just slightly loosening your handbrake, and it makes you really slightly unnerved. Oh, hang on, we're going to roll slightly down this hill. Why are you saying these things? And all I'm saying are normal things. That's what's quite amazing about it.
What's the most normal thing that will pop them down the hill?
We talk quite deeply about our flaws and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And basically, I've probably done a certain amount of introspection with professionals over the years, enough to have developed a sort of vague sense of emotional intelligence and just got my head round things like denial and things like... Why you may or may not be taking responsibility for something that you're hiding or whatever. And I take great delight in sort of picking away at the seams of the things that Alistair's buried deep within him. And not that I don't do it to me. I do it to myself as well. But it's just a horrible game I like to play with.
You play it so well. You really do.
Yeah.
You delight in it. And I can see you, like, even now. It's happening right now.
But also, sometimes.
So are you sort of the opposite of his therapist then?
He does torment me.
Is there a name for that? What's the worst I've ever made you feel?
You said once, I remember you once saying to me quite plainly, we all tell ourselves little lies to comfort ourselves, Alistair. And you said that, I don't even remember you saying that, and that really, actually, I remember thinking about that on the way home.
It's impossible not to.
It's good for you to hear, though. I'm only trying to help you.
Humans cannot not lie to themselves.
Yeah.
Thank you. Don't
look at me. Like,
identity is a series of essentially a series of I am X statements.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And necessarily, some of them are lies. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to hold out the walls from crushing your mind.
Yeah.
There's too much to think about. You have to say to yourself and operate as if I am important, I am worthwhile. Otherwise, you'd fall apart. So
I agree with Alistair I don't think that about people. What you said, going back to what you said about seeing ineptitude and it sort of crushing you a bit, and it making you maybe look pitifully upon people, and in a way that, like, it bothers you that they're not getting it right. Maybe because you have a little bit of a perfectionist thing going on.
That's
maybe
true, but I don't like it when one time a sort of lady, the one who couldn't do the ticket machine, she sort of looked at me and rolled her eyes like these things, and I didn't like. I don't want to be part.
Don't blame the things.
Don't bring me into your mistake.
But there are things that people haven't come across before, and therefore it's a new thing. So it's like, imagine.
Yeah, but I don't want to, that's the thing. I don't want to see that first thing up front. Yeah, you're right. It's perfection.
Well,
it's pure.
What would be amazing would be to watch you dealing with a baby.
Oh, don't.
Because guess what? You were a
pick up the rattle!
A stupid, no, sprawling little nappy shitting little idiot when you were born, weren't you? You didn't know anything. And now you walk around like you know everything, and that everyone who can't do everything is somehow failing you. I love it. I fucking love it. But and I think that
get out of my head.
No, but it's fine. I think that's fine. But it amuses me. It just amuses me, right? But it's not like I can't relate to it, because I find myself, if I've got a hangover, then I become that guy. Or I think if you get to know someone well, and then if you're in a relationship and it ends up being the wrong relationship, and then you're trying to tolerate each other's flaws, and then you start to, I start my look bad, you know, look unkindly. I once went out with someone who, for whatever reason, I won't name the person, but I started talking about the flags of the world, right?
Oh, yeah.
And
I love a flag.
Yeah, I love a flag. And I was like, you know, like the, I said something like, well, red, white, and blue, like, you know, like the French flag sort of thing. And the person was like, how would I know that? And I was like, the French flag, you know, red, white, and blue. It's like, well, how do you know that? I was like, because I've looked at flags throughout my life. And so, like, if you go somewhere and there's a load of flags outside.
Like the Panamanian flag. That had been one.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, fair enough, there's going to be some flags you don't know, but
France.
I was like, is this common?
I think you've got to know the French and Irish flags.
French, Irish,
British,
Spain.
Because those are the two opposite, you know, at either side, essentially. Yeah.
Spain?
Pretty easy.
Do you want to describe it?
It's a wide yellow band, red at the top and bottom, and a crest.
Argentina?
a light blue and white with a sun.
Test me.
Yeah, okay. New Zealand?
All blue, but with the little Union Jack. I've missed it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And something on blue.
Hungary.
Red stars. A green, white, and red tricolour.
This is a good game.
Bhutan.
Italy.
Red, white, green.
Yeah. Basically, avocado, mozzarella, and tomato, isn't it? That's where that came from. But anyway, point made. I'm pretty sure, even though this isn't a huge sample, it's not like a peer-reviewed experiment, most people have seen some flags. But this person couldn't believe that I had the arrogance to assume that she knew what any flag is in the world. And I really struggled with it from that moment on. It's like the relationship was doomed and then went on for another 9 years.
Should we move on to our item?
We have got an item.
We've got our item.
Right, oh, right, here we go. Christ, is this.
No,
okay,
no, no.
We have to do it. Let's just say it. We've been doing, this is episode 7, and we've been doing a thing called You Shouldn't Laugh, and whereby we...
Really sell it, mate.
Well, whereby you read out...
I wish you would.
What, to be honest, is just like a Google search that we did about 6 months ago of what's ended up just being daily sport headlines. And people either do or don't laugh when you read them out. It's supposed to be like a hold your nerve game, and we've been scoring it. What we discovered after week one or two was that we only had about 15 of them. And so we then made it like, let's read two of them out. And it's like, it's got no impact whatsoever. It doesn't work.
It only doesn't work because
it's shit.
It only doesn't work because
it's a rubbish idea and not your stupid.
What I've got to do is not laugh.
What's the score? Do you know what the score is?
No, because that's you, what you're
no,
meant
you
to
don't
know.
Even know what the score
but
is.
You're meant to know that. The fact is, in the last episode...
it's my responsibility to know everything. isn't it?
In the last episode, we had to fake the scores. We have to insert the scores. We don't know the scores. We don't keep a track of them.
By some distance, the best part of this item is when Alistair leaves a gap for, like, because we might have forgotten the numbers.
I do this. So currently, the scores are. So currently, there.
Yeah.
There.
So what are the scores?
I think they're either 4-3 or 3-all.
We don't know.
But,
but that's why I love it. I love it. But
right, well, I'll
between the two of you.
Yeah. I think Nico's 4-3 ahead.
We're gonna do it.
How do you score a point?
Right, well, I'm.
How do you score a point?
If you do not laugh, what is it again?
Oh, for fuck's sake! You don't even. Right. Basically, we're trying to make you laugh with a stupid.
Okay, so if I laugh, you get a point.
Yeah.
I know you are trying to laugh.
It's basically a very laborious penalty shootout between me and him.
Okay.
And neither of us even know what the score is. Fine, I'll do one. oh, God. Rough day. Wait a minute. We've got, like, cool music. Here it is. That's quite good. Harry Styles got stuck up my arse.
See? And I think you've already done that one.
What? No, I haven't. Well, you haven't even ticked it off. Well, this is just... Fine. This is... You are watching the death of this item, but please, by all means, go on. Read it out. See what happens. Make your mind up. This is dead air.
World's fattest man weds world's tiniest woman.
I've done that one.
Okay.
Oh, go on. Well, go on, read another one out.
Read another one. Okay.
Read them all out. Go on.
Best man left bleeding after being hit in head by flying dildo.
That's quite basic. He's quite a clever man. I'm just going to see if there's any
if
on there.
If it hadn't been dildo, it might have got me.
Read this is good.
The second one.
I don't know if I want to. Okay, just to see what kind of reaction it gets from the cleverest person that we've had on the show so far. Or is it a facade?
2-2.
Donkey bomb kills 8 in Tehran market.
Closest so far. Donkey bomb's just a funny phrase.
My favourite, and... Oh, that's good. Man threw snail at car in street route.
It's been done.
This is pathetic. This is absolutely pathetic.
Well, no, I think we need to...
I made this one up, but I think it's funny. Local MP throws baby over fence.
That's amazing.
See? Right, okay. Because I always thought that this item should be something else, and it isn't. And now I think we've proved, haven't we, Alistair, that this has fallen on its arse.
It's good.
Basically, if this is a penalty shootout, let's consider this me taking the ball away.
It would work.
Well, it could be something else. It doesn't. The penalty shootout side of it doesn't work. Little tiny orphan taken in by kind family chokes to death eating first ever hot meal. Who's made that up?
Okay, that's
who's made that up? Well, the ball's gone now. It doesn't count. Yeah. He laughed, but the game had finished.
Yeah.
The whistle's gone. A girl once... Oh, yeah, this is just an anecdote, right? This is true. So I think we should develop... Next week, listeners, this item... Or in 2 weeks, the next episode, this item is going to have been revamped. I'm going to revamp the shit out of it. It's going to be brilliant.
Okay, yeah.
But
they can't wait.
Let's just tell a funny little thing each of a thing, okay. Right? An anecdote. This is really weird, right? And I'm not trying to make you laugh anymore, but it is true. I went to like a work do, like a screening thing, like, you know, like drinks and whatever, like sort of like a telly thing, and you kind of wander across the room and you get chatting to someone and it's like, I've never really spoken to you before, and they, you know, like an opening gambit. This girl who works at a production company said to me, I once wiped my arse on a croissant as her opening gambit. She went, hi, like a little bit like, oh, is we're at a like comedy screening and everyone here is like comedy people and I'm probably going to have to say something.
I want to be remembered.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say something quite funny here. Like, and I'm not like that. It's not like, you know, no one has to impress me. But she started with that. She said,
pan au chocolat.
I was in a toilet and I looked around and there was no toilet paper. And so I looked and in my bag all I had was a croissant. So I wiped my arse on it. And I just looked at her and just went, right, you know, like, hi, pleased to meet you. I'm Nico and...
I wrote an episode 3.
Yeah, that was me. That was me.
Yeah, that was my.
That was me briefly in that non-TX pilot that we just. Well, have you got one? Well, that's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's fairly resourceful.
It is resourceful.
And, it's a flaky pastry.
But I've not been able to look at her again since. It's like every time I see her, I just always, immediately, I just think, there she is.
You've got crumbs up your bum.
You're a crummy bum. And would a croissant even flush away? I mean, all of it's horrible. All of it.
Well, I mean, presumably it'd break into bits. I mean, because it's quite flaky with a bit of water. Yeah, I think it'd go down.
Like the singing detective. Alistair, what have you got?
Well, the only one is just that when my friend was 12 years old, he exposed himself on the Nemesis at Alton Towers.
For the photo, though, I think.
So I think...
good. And I joined him.
Coming up. Anyway, right, so I don't even know if that still is, you shouldn't laugh, but thanks for playing.
No way.
You shouldn't laugh. You just shouldn't laugh, and you didn't until this has been horrible.
I've been thinking about... and then you probably should... Well, I've been telling this as a joke on stage, and people haven't been laughing, but see if you
it. That's good.
I think Jacob Rees-Mogg looks like Pinocchio grew up to be a real boy and decided to be a paedophile.
as a career. Yeah, I think we can all see that there is something deeply amiss in the form of that man. Now, Tom, as we reach the end of the show, the final thing that you have to do is you have to join me down in the Hell Cave, where I'm going to introduce you to the Imp of the Mind, who is a sort of frothing, horrible, beastly entity that really symbolises the evil that lives within all of us.
Is this a Descartes or a Plato reference?
You tell me.
Yeah, please.
No one likes a smart ass, Tom. Although the imp does like a smart ass because they are shallow narcissists. So come with me down the stairs. Come on.
Clip clop.
Just
clip,
open
clip,
the door. Clip. Yeah. Okay, here, hang on. Well, I'll add the sound effect later, actually. Thanks. I'll do the... look. Hello. Oh, Master Imp. I've brought Tom Tuck.
Tom Tuck.
I bring him before you.
Yes. What do you want?
Well, he's here to be judged as to whether he's got what it takes to sort of fit within the Sick Mind brand, if that's the right way of putting it.
Yes. I've listened very deeply to you. I'm thinking... Tom Tuck... I'm afraid you do not have a sick mind. Ooh. You have a very clever mind.
Ooh.
Very clever.
Are they mutually exclusive?
They are to him.
Yes.
Yeah. We don't really get to argue
with
that.
Woody Allen on.
Be away with you now.
So you think he's essentially a good soul?
I think he's a good soul.
A good liar.
Yeah, or a good... you two would get on.
I like you.
We'll get for a pint.
Yeah, that'll be good, yeah.
Wednesday. Yeah, we've completely ruined the fantasy of this, but I beg your pardon for interrupting you, Imp. Tom, if you could just follow me back up the stairs. There we go. Well, okay, well, that sort of went well. I mean, usually I'd take that as a rejection, but I think he had a bit of a crush on you.
Mm. He liked you.
He liked you in a way that maybe he himself doesn't even understand.
Yeah.
Is that fair, Alistair?
I know him very well, and he's quite... He was
too well
moved.
Sometimes too well. Yeah. He's quite... You've affected him. Mm. Now, we have reached the end of the show, and it's been an absolute pleasure.
Sorry I wasn't sick.
You don't have to be sorry. Mm. It's not nothing to be proud of if you are sick. But... It was wonderful to have you here. So, Tom, tell the listeners where they can find you out there.
Turlygod is my name across the internet.
Yes.
Turlygod, which is a King Lear reference.
Are you an Instagram man?
Yes, Instagram.com/Turlygod. Twitter.com/Turlygod. I tweet a bit.
Yeah. I'm at Nico Tatz, TATZ. NIC. I'm going to say it all. NICOTATZ. I hate Twitter with all of my heart. Alistair?
I'm at Alistair Griggs. Please follow me.
Wow. Please. Okay.
And hopefully my DVD will be out.
Yeah. And that's called?
Tom Tuck Goes Straight to DVD.
Fucking yes. I'm going to be all over that, mate. Not a problem. Do I get a free one?
Possibly.
I'm absolutely happy to pay.
Yeah.
Once it's in Sue Ryder. This, you've been listening to Sick Minds. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and on Audio Boom and in all the other places where your favourite podcasts tend to reside. So, once again, thank you everyone for listening to Sick Minds.